Well, today we have the blessing and honor of learning from a wonderful man. Pastor Steve Coy has been with us here at the church for some time now. He and his family have been part of our body, and I love what he gets to share from his heart for our people. The Lord has just really been moving through him in a wonderful way, and many of us have been instructed so deeply by what he ends up sharing. So we're encouraged to have him speak to us today, so we look forward to hearing what he has to say. Over to you, Pastor Steve.
Good morning, our Father's house. I hope today finds you doing well. At the Coy house, things are truly hopping here at the moment. My son is getting married August 8th, and since telework is in place right now, my son-in-law and my daughter were able to come in from Arkansas along with their puppy. And my daughter from Boston is in our house too, as she's teleworking on an internship for her law school. So life is busy in our house right now. And telework has been such a blessing in that we can be together for a longer period of time. But telework has also been very interesting because it has allowed most of us to spend a lot more time on social media than maybe we had ever. And is that a good thing or a bad thing? On July 12th, Eric Johnson from Bethel Church in Reading preached a message about the game is rigged. And in it, he called about the current situation, the game of deception, the game of demonizing people, the game of following the model, still kill and destroy, is being played out among us. And the game board right now is the area of justice. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren, and he has everyone accusing and slandering everyone else. As Eric says, I'm just going to read a few quotes from his message. He says, culture is the playing field of the game being played. Our efforts trying to win the game, or are our efforts trying to bring heaven to earth? Someone is trying to manipulate you or fearmonger you to get with the program of what they want. But the problem is the game has no plan for redemption, no plan for restoration, and no plan for healing. The underlying feeling that a lot of us have is there's no way to win. There's no way to win unless we are willing to play in a way that does not reflect the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. The game is rigged to reduce hope. The game is rigged to instill fear and exasperation. And the rules were written for a system that is broken, dysfunctional, and dark. Are we playing by their rules? Are we choosing sides? You see, we need to be a people who play by a different set of rules, a set of rules that brings healing and not harm. Now, we know that this spirit is affecting both sides because, you see, Satan wants us to slander one another. He wants us to demonize people. He wants us to destroy others. Because have you noticed that if you follow social media at all, what are the bait lines that they use over and over, whether it's on the left or the right or whoever? So-and-so owns so-and-so. You got to watch this video because they really own them. Or so-and-so destroys so-and-so. And that's what the world wants us to do. Because Satan wants us not to bring healing, but harm to one another. So we need to ask ourselves, what distracts our heart from hearing and following Jesus? What distracts our hearts from hearing and following the kingdom of heaven and not the kingdom of this world? Jesus tells us what distracts us, what prevents us from listening, hearing, healing, and being healed. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 18, he tells us all this is a matter of the heart. That's also found in Proverbs chapter 4. It's the writer of Proverbs says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And then in Matthew 13, Jesus is going to tell a parable. And let's look into this parable this morning, but let's pray before we get going. Father, be with us as we look into the truth of your word this morning. May it so sink deep into our hearts that we become agents of healing, bearing the fruit of healing and not harm. Lord, that we would not play the game by Satan's strategies, but Lord, we would play the game we wouldn't even play the game, but we would live out the kingdom of heaven. We ask this in your son's name. Amen. In Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 1, it says, That same time, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds followed him, gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed some seeds fell along the path, and birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus, talking to the crowd, shares a parable. And a parable is just an earthly story with a heavenly point. The disciples asked Jesus why he spoke in parables, and he answered the following. If you look at verses 11 through 14, they said, why do you do this? And in verse 11, he says, and he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. So the one who has, more will be given. The one who has a heart for these things, more will be given. And the one who doesn't have a heart for it, even what he has will be taken away. And we'll see that in this parable when Jesus explains it. He says, this is why I spoke to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophet Isaiah is fulfilled. Now, in the New Living Translation in verse 12, it says, to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, that's a kind of key there. Those who are not listening, those who are not willing to give an ear to what Christ has to say, he says this about them in verse 14, as he quotes Isaiah. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Now, it's really interesting there. If you go to Isaiah chapter 6, it doesn't quite read that way. Isaiah chapter 6 reads a little different than the way Jesus is going to quote it here. And Paul quotes it just like Jesus did at the end of Acts in Acts chapter 28. But in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, listen to the subtle differences. And he said, go and say to this people, God is telling Isaiah this, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their eyes heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. Now, that one almost sounds like the prophet is supposed to tell them, or to almost hide the word of God from them. Let them hear but don't understand. Let them see but not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their eyes heavy and blind their eyes. But when Jesus quotes it, he explains it more fully, as he did everything from the Old Testament. He says there in Matthew chapter 13, verse 15, "For this people's heart has grown dull." Their heart has. "And with their ears, they can barely hear." Why? "And their eyes, they have closed." Why have they closed them? Because in reality, they don't want to hear. "Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart." But listen to what God says. In Isaiah, he says he wants that he would heal them if they would listen. And here he says he wants them to understand with their heart and turn. And he says, "And I would heal them." God wants to bring this incredible healing to his people and through his people. But Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 23 tells us that even though God has made himself known and has revealed himself, even through all of creation, men have decided not to listen to him and not to give thanks. And this breaks the heart of God. And Satan knows that if people hear the truth and see the truth, they can be free. So what causes our heart to become dull to the kingdom of God? What causes us to become callous to the gospel? What causes us to get caught up in the game that the world wants us to play, and we end up playing by the world's rules instead of God's rule? What causes us to be blind or become blind to what is going on? What causes us to begin to defame other people and demonize other people and write stuff so that we can own other people, or we can destroy other people with our words, instead of listening to people with respect and dignity as those made in the image of God? What distracts our heart from hearing and following Jesus? Jesus is going to tell us what distracts us, what prevents us from listening, hearing, and being healed and being healers. In verse 18, he says, "Hear then the parable of the sower." And the word there carries the idea of to listen and let it change you. Or as in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 27, when Jesus says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and a great was the fall of it." So Jesus already tells us earlier in Matthew what it's like to listen to him. He wants us to listen in order to do, to act on, to hear. Verse 13:19. It says, "When anyone hears the words of the kingdom and does not understand it," meaning they're not listening to hear, "the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart." This is what was sown along the path. The evil one comes and snatches what has been sown in his heart. Please hear this. When the kingdom of God is presented, and if we're not paying attention and listening to it with a heart to obey it, Satan himself comes and snatches that word away. That word for snatch there is a word which means to take something forcibly, thus to steal or to capture in war. It's used between the conflict of the kingdom of God and that of Satan. And Satan, literally, when we hear the word of God, when we hear the kingdom of God being preached, and we're not listening with tentative ears, and we're not listening to let it change us, Satan comes and just rips it away from us, and then it's no longer there. And God says that breaks his heart because he wants to bring healing. He just said that they would turn and I would heal them. But Satan comes to steal and kill and destroy. According to John 10:10, he wants us not to hear the truth of God's kingdom. He wants us to be so distracted by everything else that we don't pay attention to what Jesus is telling us. Satan doesn't want to give the word of God a chance to begin to take root in the soil of our heart for change. He doesn't want us to be healed. And if we keep throwing rocks at each other, he steals the chance for us to hear about the kingdom of God. And he steals the chance from us to share about the kingdom of God. The second thing Jesus talks about in Matthew 13, 20 and 21, he talks about the rocky ground. He says, as for that which was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Because the gospel is good news. It is to bring joy to our hearts. It's to bring life to us. It brings joy. Yet he has no root in himself. He endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arise on account of the word, immediately he falls away. He receives it with joy, but he has no root in himself. That's a fascinating statement. No root in himself. We're going to get to that a little deeper in a moment. But he says when tribulation or trials come, the trials, tribulation are the trials of life, the chaos that is all around us. And when people begin to mock or question the gospel of Jesus Christ, or begin to question the teachings of Jesus Christ, or say, do you really believe that the Bible says that such and such sin is really a sin? Do you really believe that? Do you really believe what God says there? And even though they had received the gospel of peace with joy, because they have no root in themselves, they haven't been grounded in Christ. When tribulation comes, their peace and joy is ripped away. And that is not what God wants for us. He wants to bring us complete and full healing. But if we're not rooted in Christ, we will fall away. We may endure for a while, but we will fall away and miss the healing God wants for us. We will miss the complete healing God wants for us, and that he wants us to bring to others. Because God is for us, not against us. God wants us to have roots so deep in Christ that we are never swayed. Remember in Matthew chapter 7, he wants us to be on the solid rock, the firm foundation. And Paul writes in Colossians these words in Colossians 2, 7 through 9. He says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Keep walking in him. Keep hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Keep hearing about the kingdom of heaven. Be rooted and built up in him. Rooted in him, built up in him. That's how we have roots. Our roots are to be deep in Jesus Christ and established in faith. Just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. You see, Satan wants us to complain about others and about our life. Because when he gets us complaining, he gets us living in fear. God wants us to live in thanksgiving and faith, because thanksgiving and faith build our roots deep into Jesus Christ. Paul goes on to say, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Now, that's another whole message all in and of itself. But let me sum it up this way. The world and Satan have a plan for you. And it's to harm you. And it's to harm others. Remember, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. Satan is the accuser of the brethren, the slanderer of the brethren. Satan wants us to demonize other people. Where Jesus says, that is not what God has for you. The world and Satan have a plan for you, a name for you. They want to call you something, and it's not what God wants to call you. And they have plans to say, hey, you're just this sin. That's your name. Your name is your sin. Whatever sin you struggle with, that's your name. That's what they want to call you. And that's what they want to say you are, and you have no other recourse to get out of it. They want to hem you in. They want to call you all kinds of names because of what you may stand for or what you may do. And that's not according to Christ. Because listen to this. It says, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells, speaking of Christ, bodily. And you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. Colossians also tells us the amazing mystery is that Christ in us. So the full deity dwells bodily in Christ, and then Christ dwells in us. We have been filled with him who is the head of all rule and authority. The world tries to tell us, and we so willingly give up our authority to bring healing and peace. And we just get caught up in the nonsense of what's going on. When God says we can be this, we can be the head of all rule and authority because we are in Christ and Christ is in us. We are new creations. 2 Corinthians, one of my favorite verses, 2 Corinthians 5:17. We are a new creation in Christ. We don't have to fall away. We are a new spirit. Too often we let our body and what's happening to our body, the decay of our body, or the attacks that have been done to our body, we let that define us. We let the damage that's been done to our soul define us. But our spirit has been made new, and we have been given new life in Jesus Christ. And this, because we have this new life in Christ, we need to let our spirit, our new spirit, our revived spirit, tell our body and soul who we are. And we are in Christ. We are new creations in Christ. So we need to make sure we're rooted. We need to make sure that we're listening with the intent to obey, that we're rooted deep in who we are in Jesus Christ, so that our heart is good soil and can be healed and bring healing. In Matthew 13, 22, it goes on. Jesus continues his explanation. He says, as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word. He hears and even wants to listen. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. The cares and riches of this world entangle us. We get caught up in the games of this world that have no plan of redemption, no plan of reconciliation, no plan of healing. We get caught up in the news cycle. My gosh, I feel so gross if I start my day off by clicking on CNN, Fox News, BBC, you name it. In 5 minutes, I'm like, I'm so discouraged and so defeated. Now, I'm not saying we stick our head in the sand, But when we get caught up into that stuff, and then you end up reading, oh, well, so-and-so's going to own so-and-so, so-and-so's going to destroy so-and-so. Man, look at these arguments, and this side's going to win, my side's going to win, or that side's going to win. And we get caught up in who's going to win instead of who can be healed in Jesus Christ. We miss it. The cares of this world overtake us, and the good seed of the gospel of Christ ends up being fruitless in us. When God wants to bring fruit, the fruit of healing and the fruit of bringing healing to others. When we get caught up in the politics, and we live in a country where it's set up that we're to be involved in politics. I'm not saying not to be involved. But when politics becomes our identity and we begin to demonize the side we're against, we miss the point of the kingdom of heaven. When we get caught up in our jobs, hey, working hard is good. If a man doesn't work, neither should he eat, Scripture tells us. Doing a good job is not a bad thing. But then when that becomes the focus and we lose sight of the kingdom of heaven, the cares of this world begin to overtake us, we stop the healing process to our own soul that God wants to do, and we become unable to bring the healing of the kingdom of heaven to others. Even when we get caught up in our own stories. I know that sounds kind of weird, but think about it. We can become so consumed with what has happened to us by others, either by our own sin or what's been done to us, that we miss what God is wanting to do in and through us. God wants so much more for us. He wants us to walk in His healing. He wants us to hear the good news of the kingdom and hear it in such a way that it changes everything about how we live, how we die, and how we bring hope to other people. He wants us to see His goodness every single day. I mean, remember what it said in Colossians, with thanksgiving. He wants us to see His goodness, His grace, His mercy. He wants us to receive His forgiveness. And just as important, He wants us to extend His forgiveness to the world around us. He thought it was so important that when He taught the disciples how to pray, He said, forgive others, because if you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. It's that vital. It's that important to bring this healing that God wants to bring. His is the plan of redemption. His is the plan of reconciling people to one another and to God. His is the plan to bring healing to the nations. You read the Old Testament prophets over and over and over. He talks about bringing healing to the nations. In the New Testament, Jesus talks about bringing healing and healing. In the passage in 2 Corinthians where we talked about already, God talks about we have the ministry of reconciliation. That is what God wants us to do, reconciling men to God and reconciling men to one another. That is what the kingdom of heaven is all about. But if we're not listening, Satan wants to snatch any chance of that from happening from us. If we get offended easily because some people don't agree with what the Word of God says, we can't bring healing to people unless we're telling them the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whether it offends them or not, we speak it in love, just as Jesus always did. And then the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, we can get so caught up in all those things going on around us. You see, I worry about where our country's headed to. But kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall, but the kingdom of heaven is eternal. What are we focused on? Satan wants you to be consumed with the troubles of this world. He wants you to be consumed with the condition of your body. I mean, some of us have broken bodies. I'm a type 1 diabetic. My body, my pancreas, doesn't work. It has rebelled completely against me. It doesn't like me. It hates me. I don't eat carbohydrates because of it, and I love carbohydrates. I want carbohydrates. And I can be so consumed on what has happened to my body that I miss out on what the kingdom of heaven is. Satan wants us to focus on the distractions of our sins. Whether we're an addict or whether we're a rageaholic or whether we've been so sinned against, he wants that to become our focus, because that distracts us from the kingdom of heaven and prevents us from being healed and bringing forth healing. This is what he did to Job, right? He attacked Job the same way. Satan, he's really good at what he does, but he's not that creative. How did he attack Job? First, he attacked his family, all the cares of the world. He attacked his money, the deceitfulness of riches. Then he attacked his body, what was happening to him. And then he attacked his soul through his friends and his wife. But God says, don't lose focus. Focus on what the kingdom of heaven is teaching, what God's word is teaching us, and listen to obey. God, our Father and Savior, Jesus Christ, creates in us that new creation, and he wants us to fill us with the Spirit of God, to be healed and bring forth healing to those around us. Look what it says in verse 23 as Jesus finishes this up. He says, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. Hears and understands. And the way we understand is by obeying. Our understanding opens up immensely as we hear the word of God, hear the truth of God's word, and obey it. As we obey, our eyes are open to even more understanding. And the more we obey and the more we understand, Jesus had told us previously, the more he will give us. And I think that's where it comes down to this. He says, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. And how much we yield is dependent on how much we hear, obey, and understand. The more we hear, the more we listen intently to God's word, we don't let Satan steal it. We don't let tribulation or trials or persecution get us off track. We don't let the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of sin, or the chaos that's going all around us or even to us distract us from hearing God's word and obeying God's word. And when we do, he gives us more understanding. In one case, 100-fold, in another case, 60, in another, 30. Listen and be rooted in the word of God and the kingdom of God. God wants to bring this fruit in your life. Remember, he says he wants to bring healing. This is God's desire for you, is to bring healing to you and to bring healing to others through you. God wants to bring this fruit in your life. This is the truth. Will you hear the truth? Will you let the truth take root in your heart? Don't let Satan tear it away from you. Don't let the cares of this world or the attack of the social mob steal it from you. But stay focused on Christ. Don't let the weight of this world take your eyes off of Jesus. Be rooted in Christ. I encourage you this week to turn off the news for a week. Turn off social media for a week, except for watching this podcast or Jay and Katie tomorrow at noon when they have the prophetic meeting. Well, I just turn it off. Turn off Netflix and get your Jesus fix. Now, I know that is corny as snot, but it's okay. I went with it anyway. I wrote it down. I laughed at it and said, that is so funny and silly and corny. But it's true. We need to turn off Netflix and get our Jesus fix. You don't need to watch The Tiger King over. You don't need to do that. You need to fixate on Jesus Christ because he wants to heal you and bring healing through you. Will you be healed? Will you be a healer? Because all throughout the Gospels, Jesus commissions the disciples to go and heal. Because that's what the kingdom of God is about, to heal our souls, to create in us new spirits in Jesus Christ. May you be healed today. Healed by the truth of God's word. Healed by his goodness that he loves you, died on the cross for you, and wants to heal your mind, your soul, your body, and create in you a new creation in Christ. And if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, don't let Satan rob you of the fruit. God wants to work through you. He wants to heal you and make you a healer of the nations. Father, be with us today. May the seed of your word fall upon good ground in our heart. Because you are for us and not against us. Lord, bring healing to us individually. Bring healing through us to our families, to our neighborhoods, to our counties, to our states, to our governments, to the world. Because you said to us, we are the light of the world. You're the light of the world, and you made us the light of the world. Father, it just blows my mind. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Hope to see you soon.
Thank you, Pastor Steve, for that message this morning. We really appreciate it. It's time for communion now, so we wanted you to just go and get some of the elements together for communion, whether you have juice or water or something to drink. And we have crackers this morning, and I'm not sure what you have at your home, but be flexible with what you have. It's really about our heart that we're presenting to the Lord in this time. So I wanted to share with you this morning, trying to keep in with the theme that Pastor Steve is sharing today about bearing fruit. And when I think about bearing fruit, I always go to John chapter 15. So I just wanted to remind you of chapter 15, John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5, when Jesus said to his disciples, he says this, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." You know, in keeping with one of the themes that we have been learning in this season, it's all about Jesus. Yeah. It's all about him. And it's all about us being focused on him and what he's doing. Remember last week, don't turn to the right or to the left, but be focused on him. When we abide in him, we get to bear fruit. And he tells us that when we bear fruit, we get pruned so that we'll bear more fruit. But we get to bear fruit because we are in him. And the reason we are in him is because he took our punishment on the cross. He made a way for us to be reinserted into the kingdom of heaven and for us to have relationship with our Father, our heavenly Father, and to have life in him, to represent him here in the earth and to live an abundant life in calling men and women out of darkness into the kingdom of light. So our goal is to stay focused on him, to live in him, to abide in him, and to let him bear fruit in us in the earth. So we're going to take communion this morning, remembering the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for us, that he allowed his body to be broken for us, and he allowed his blood to be poured out for us. He did that willingly, and he did it lovingly for us. He chose to do this. From before the dawn of time, he knew he would do this, and he knew that he would be the way. He would be the door back to the Father. So Jesus, we thank you this morning for what you did for us. We thank you for taking our punishment, taking our sin, taking our shame, taking our sickness and our disease, Lord, onto the cross with you. Lord, we thank you for shedding your blood, for making a new covenant, and for rising in victory, in resurrection power. We thank you that we get to be part of your body and that we get to bear fruit. Teach us your ways, Lord. Let our eyes be laser focused on you, not distracted by the things that are coming at us from the right or from the left that would try to draw us away from you, try to draw our gaze away from you, try to draw our mind, our will, and our emotions away from you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, for the things that you're bringing forward in this season that are hampering the fruit that you want to bear in us, Lord, we hand them over to you. We thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Take, eat, and drink. In the name of Jesus. Well, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for spending this time with us. We hope you have a wonderful week ahead of you. We look forward to whoever wants to sign on tomorrow at noon to join us as we share the prophetic words from today. And we just pray that the Lord bless you and keep you in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. See you later.
Goodbye.